This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Three lines from the top of this onward 19 in the Maamar Shlishi. Uchvar nikbetzu moisorim makdirim im oirech hashavua. And then we find that despite the regular davening sessions, there are excesses which cause a murkiness in one's spiritual being as the week goes along. Lo yitochi letaram ulanakrisom elo basmodus avidas yoim im menuchas aguf, which can then only be cleansed not by a few hours of standing in davening, but it requires an entire day of avodo together with physical relaxation. So here you've got a definition of Shabbos. Shabbos is a day, 24 hours of avodo with physical relaxation. The only type of relaxation which is required on Shabbos is physical. But mental and spiritual relaxation is not. Do you want to try? Mental relaxation is not meant to be on Shabbos at all. On the contrary, Shabbos is meant to be a day of avoda. Va'az yerotze haguf b'Shabbos. So why is Sheina b'Shabbos tainug then? Sheina is the chadifik. It should say menucha b'Shabbos tainug. You should put up your feet and rest your body and let your mind work. Why is Sheina on Shabbos such a special tainug?
Yeah? Because if you really learn hard, you need to sleep.
that's good. So then it should be Sheina la'achas Shabbos. Then it should be Motzei Shabbos Sheina should be good. I mean, if Shabbos is what Shabbos is meant to be, then you'll find yourself, when you sleep on Shabbos, your mind will be working. It will be a different kind of sleep for during the week. During the week, if you're the main part, the bulk of your time during the week is... Oh, what's going on here with the tent?
Sorry?
Are you supposed to operate? You operate the base of Medrash tape. That's your business. Anybody else wants the tape, then put on the tape and then that. Otherwise, Taki, you went of one. Otherwise, you'll get crazy. What we should do is, you know, in some places they've got into one microphone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we should try and organize one day. So the Shana on Shabbos is a different kind of Shana. The Shana can be part of the time during the week when one's whole day is occupied with all sorts of other things. When you lie down to sleep, you're either so exhausted that you sleep so deeply that you're really so unconscious, or you sleep in such a way that you think all sorts of other things, or your business problems and all sorts of other things get carry on in your subconscious. But on Shabbos, if it's an entire day of avodah, then even your subconscious while you're asleep on Shabbos is working in matters of kedusha and in matters of Torah. That's like a tainug. When you're lying asleep and you're involved in avodah, that's really a tainug. Vaz yirotze haguf b'Shabbos is asher chosol u'misheshes hayomim v'yenochen leosid. And that way, the body achieves on Shabbos what it lacks during the 6 days. The body lacks during the 6 days is rest. So the body gets what it needs on Shabbos, it's rest. And therefore it's now strengthened to operate during the rest of the week. And so also the soul now remembers what it misses while the body is so preoccupied. And it's as if she, the soul on that day, is healed from an earlier disease and prepares herself for the removal of that illness in the future. So it's a recharging of the resources of the neshama. The body recharges itself physically and the neshama recharges itself spiritually, provided the Shabbos is takeh yom of avodah. Doimel lemashe hoyo ise iyo if bechol shavua bevanov Like Eev used to do with his sons. He was a wealthy man, Eev, at that time, and they used to live affluently. And once a week he used to bring korbanos. He used to bring a korban chatos in case korban oilo, in case his children had done anything wrong during the week of living in that kind of affluence. He was worried that he didn't know of anything they'd done wrong, and if there was anything conscious, certainly they would have done tshuva. But Eev feared that maybe they had done something subconsciously or unconsciously during the week. And so once a week he used to make this party where a sudas mitzvah with a korban. And the reason, so the Chuzri says, is not just to do tshuva for what has been, but to cleanse them, to prepare them for the week to come. He did, they did. They all joined him, the whole family. They used to go to a different home each time. So why, according to the Chuzri, he had Shabbos? What did he have to do this for? Why does he bring a raya from Eev? He's trying to say that that's what Shabbos is. He says, as Eev did, and that wasn't Shabbos that Eev did it. Why did Eev have to do it in addition to Shabbos? Because we probably hold that Eev was a goy. There are different views in Chazal. One of the views in Chazal, a major view in Chazal, is that Eev wasn't Jewish. And a goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. He can't do tshuva on Shabbos. Maybe also, but it's something more. It's a goyish shavas. It's chayav misa. He's not allowed to keep Shabbos, but he wants the concept of Shabbos. He realizes it's an important concept. Good, so he keeps it on another day. He has that concept of bringing a korban and a day of avodah. He makes some other day. V'achalkein yiye osid l'rufua hachodshis. And after that, he's now ready, since he's doing daily, he has a daily routine of recharge, and he has a weekly routine of more serious week charge. Now he's ready to utilize the monthly recharge, Shizman Kapora L'chol Tov V'Yitzom, which is a period of Kapora for all ones, for all the generations, Toldos HaChodoshim V'Chidusha HaYomim. The consequences of the months and new ideas, new seasons, new situations, in which a person finds himself, Kamoshe Omar, Ki Lo Seido Ma Yeled Yom. Because the Pasuk in Mishlei says one doesn't know what the new day is going to bring forth. So Rosh Chodesh is a kind of preparation for an uncertain future. That's the idea, says the Kuzri of Rosh Chodesh. The moon isn't there, it's a new moon, a new month, with a new. That's his chachos. We don't know what's ahead of us. The days follow more or less a routine, you know, but what's going on with a Rosh Chodesh, a new month with a new mazel and a new, everything works new. There has to be preparation for that as well. That's Rosh Chodesh. V'achakach yeh osit l'sholish regolim. Then he's ready to face the three regolim, the three yomim tovim. V'acharechen el hatzoim hanichbada shebo yinoki mikol oven shekodom. And then comes Yom Kippur, which is a day where one can cleanse oneself of all previous avonos. V'yosik boi and on Yom Kippur he can achieve that which cannot be achieved on any of the other special days or weekly recharges or even monthly recharges. Yom Kippur enables one to receive kerach for an entire year. And the soul is able to cleanse itself from intellectual confusion, the ta'avim, and from feelings of aggression and of passions which aren't allowed, the toshuv mintes alehem tshuva gemuro, and he's able to do tshuva for having tilted himself towards any of those negative experiences, whether it's intellectual confusion, whether it's emotions of aggression or of passions, bein b'machshova bein b'maise, whether he experienced those emotions only in thought, or if they were already translated into action, Yom Kippur can fix them both. And if he finds himself unable to do tshuva from the thoughts, how practical the Kuzri is. Well, you only do the person who can't. Why not? Because the thought's always there. He can't get rid of these negative thoughts. Standing on Yom Kippur and he feels angry and aggressive. Stands on Yom Kippur and he can't get rid of his feelings of passions or of his intellectual confusions. And the reason he can't get rid of it, when you're standing and you're already in your middle age and you're standing on Yom Kippur and there are all sorts of thoughts and feelings that you can't rid yourself of even at the most precious moments of a Yom Kippur, why is that? Because of things that he heard as a child. various songs that he heard and books that he read and films that he saw and theatre that he went to, can't get rid of it. It's powerful. One doesn't realize what one's exposing. In his day there wasn't even anything as powerful as we've got today, but where these media are so powerful, there are things which are implanted so deeply into one that at the times that one most wants to rid oneself of them, Sani and Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, and you'll find there's all sorts of nonsense in your head which you just can't get rid of. What do you do? At least he says, Tinaku Mahamaisa. At least the physical things you've got to get, you've got to cleanse. Vetisvade al hara yoinim. And you should acknowledge with vidui, confess to the mental things. At least face it. And at least accept upon yourself that you won't talk them or act them. To get rid of them, you won't be able to. Unbelievable. That's for Fallon already. You've ruined yourself. That you won't be able to rid, to get a kedusha samachshova, that you should be able to get yourself into a frame of mind of pure intellect, of a mind which is pure, can design that you won't, that that's not possible. But at least it won't come to speech and it won't come to action. That you can control. That you're able to do. Amazing thing. That's the responsibility of a parent. A child can't know that. A child wants to be exposed to all sorts of things, wants to do all sorts of things. You'll find the child doesn't know and doesn't understand. A parent does. And that's the responsibility of a parent, to protect the child from things which the child himself can't know. And just as physically that's what the parent has to do, so spiritually the parent has to do that too. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the Kuzri seems to say that he doesn't say that one cannot. He says if you find yourself unable to, then good, there's no point in trying to battle with it. So he takes it through the back door. Good, so handle the areas you can. Stop it where you can. He's not saying that's impossible to do. He's facing the practicality of it. You'll have an individual who finds he can't. That's the practical. Good, there are all sorts of etzes, but you need to be a malach to do those as well. And if you were such a malach, then you wouldn't have come to the machshavas in the first place. There are tikkunim for it, but the tikkunim themselves are very severe. If a person immerses himself in Torah, morning, afternoon, and night, and for a couple of years, it will be gone. We're talking practically. You can't do that. He's not doing that. So he's going out. Most of his life is out in the secular field, and there it's reinforcing all the time the things which he did as a child and he heard as a child. The fact is, it's very difficult. Good. So says the Kuzri. One thing everybody can do is make sure a be misvade, acknowledge that those thoughts exist, and acknowledge their negativity. That's number one. Number two, make sure that they never come into any mental, any verbal expression, and that they never come into any physical action. That one can do. And that already will start reducing their potency. And as it says in Tehillim, Zamoisi bal yavur pi, that my any bad thought should not come past my lips, at least that they should never be expressed. And he fasts on that day a fast which makes him approximate the malochim. Why? Not just because he doesn't eat. That's not what Yom Kippur is all about. It's because one completes that fast with kniya, with a feeling of subjection, with a shiflus, with modesty, uva amido, having stood, with the kriyas, having bowed, the tushbochos, with tehillos, and praises for the Ribbono Shel Olam, the entire day we act like malochim. V'chol koychoso v'agufim tzomim ma'anyonim ativim, and all his physical koychos fast, not just his stomach, everything fasts on Yom Kippur, from all natural functions, misaskim b'toyrim, and dedicate themselves to matters of Torah, ki'ilu ein bo teva behemi, as if he doesn't have a physical nature. That's what Yom Kippur is. He ignores the physical nature as if it doesn't exist for one day a year. And that's the kind of fast that a chosid is able to institute whenever he wants to. That's what a fast means, not just I'm going without food. That's what a fast means. And the chosid, whenever he wants to fast, that's how he fasts. Shiyane boi ha-reus v'hashema v'haloshoin, a fast in which he is responded to by his powers of vision and his audio powers and his verbal powers. V'lo yatridem bezulas ma shiyikarev esoi el ha-elikim, and he shouldn't worry those senses with anything other than that which brings him closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I think the Kuzri is not only talking about a fast day, but a situation which should exist all day, all the time, by the Chosid. Just as on Yom Kippur we're able to function in Torah alone, with ignoring anything else, so the Chosid all his life is able to function in a way where his senses operate only in those areas which will bring him closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'chein ha-koyches ha-penimim, midimyon u-machshov, and so also the inner forces, such as the power of dimyon, the imaginative power which we discussed, u-machshov, and the intellectual power, v'zlosize, and all the others, v'im ze yiyu ha-maisim ha-toivim ha-yuduim, and with this there will be the well-known good deeds will come as well. Not only will it be in thought, but the deeds also will come at the same time. Omar HaKuzri, so the Kuzri now asks the Chochem, Ma HaMaisim HaYuduim, what are you referring to? That's coming close to his heart, to the Kuzri, because you remember, I mentioned to you, that's what it all started with. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, you've got good thoughts, but your deeds aren't good. So the Chover, after going through this whole thing about the thoughts, and getting the orientation of the thoughts proper, he now mentions, as if by the way, the HaMaisim Tevim HaYuduim, the well-known good deeds. Oh, says the Kuzri, that's what I want to hear about, tell me more about it. And the Chover now goes into the areas of the Maise HaMitzvahs, of the physical actions. Omar HaChover, the Chover says, HaMa'asiyim HaMinhagiyim VaHachukim HaSichliim Heim HaYuduim. When I refer to the well-known deeds, I'm talking about actions and customs and statutes which are intellectually obligatory, which are philosophically based, which anybody who reasons must appreciate. Those are the Maisim Tovim HaYuduim, the well-known good deeds. Aval HaElokim HaNoisofim Aleihem Lochul BuUmas Kel Chai SheYechayev SheYanhigeo. But the godly deeds, which are added on top of the philosophic ones, which are meant to apply to the nation of a living God who obligated them to follow these deeds, Einam Yuduim, they are not known, Ad sheyavoyu meyetzloi mefuroshim umechulokim, until the Ribbono Shel Olam specifies them. So the Kuzri defines two kinds of mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah sichli, which can be worked out intellectually even if we weren't commanded, and there's the mitzvah eloiki, the godly mitzvah, which would not have been able to be worked out if the Ribbono Shel Olam hadn't told us. But furthermore, ki ein haminhagim v'asichlim ahem yuduim. In truth, even the sichlim are not known philosophically. Shim neidom ba'atzmon, because although we would know them essentially, their philosophy, loy neido shiurom, we will not know their measurements. This is very important and ties back to last night's shiur, that in every mitzvah there is an element of chok. What is the chok? To know. That's the 50% of the diameter of the trachea. There's a measurement. Up till here, yes, and from here to there, no. There's a line which the Ribbono Shel Olam imposes. For example, philosophically, everybody knows that it is right and proper to be modest. You don't need the Torah to tell you that. That's a mitzvah sichlis. That's an intellectual mitzvah, which means it's based on intellect, or it could be based on intellect. One could work it out from philosophy. Umusar anefesh bikniyo v'shiflus choivo, and that self-discipline with subjection is obligatory. V'ahino meguno, and that to oppress people commercially is improper. That it's not, one isn't allowed to do that. V'ahepkir imanoshim meguno, and that to have casual and undisciplined relationships between the sexes, that's meguno, that's not allowed. That's clear. You don't need the Torah for that. And that relationships with certain sexual relationships with certain degrees of family relations is not allowed, is wrong. You don't need the Torah for that. That one would know even without the Torah. And that honoring parents is obligatory. You would know that without the Torah. And so on. All these are mitzvah sichlius. Ach hagbolos ze v'shiuroi. But the limitations imposed upon each of these concepts and their measurements, ad shiyeh tov lakol, to make sure that they're good for everybody, because you've got to look at it universally, not only from the point of the individual. Einenu kiyum le'elokim yisborach. That's determined by the Ribbono Shel Olam. How far does honoring a parent go? How far, what exactly relationships you are allowed to marry and what relationships you're not allowed to marry? Exactly where does it start and where does it stop? That you can't work out without the Torah. You can know the concept, you can know the idea, but the line, the exact line of where it's classified, of where each thing is classified, that you can't know without the Torah. But the mitzvahs elokim, our mind doesn't comprehend at all. So the difference now, he says, is that in all mitzvahs there is chok. That means, even in the mitzvah sichlius, even in those mitzvahs which are intellectually